Do you have a close friend? Our songs today have been centered around the theme of friendship that we have with Christ. We sang, "I'll be a friend to Jesus." We sang, "I have found a friend in Jesus." We talk about the friendship that we have and what a friend we have in Jesus, and we can carry all of our prayers, our concerns to Him. A friend is someone we trust. A friend is someone that we might be able to confide in and know that they will take all of our thoughts, all of our struggles, and they will sift through what we might share with them. They will be non-judgmental, and they will just always be there for us. When I think about the Apostle Paul, Paul was not married, thus he had no wife that he could share his feelings and his concerns. He had no one like this special relationship God created when he said a long time ago, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper fit or suitable for him." God created the woman, Eve, brought her to the man, and she became his close companion. Well, Paul didn't have that close companionship of a wife. But all through the life of Paul, there are special friends that he had that would encourage and would be there for him and be there with him. The two friends that I want us to think about today, and we're going to talk about Timothy this morning and tonight, a man that has a hard name to pronounce, Epaphroditus. We're going to talk about this friend tonight. As Paul then had these close relationships, both with Timothy and with Epaphroditus, great words of commendation are given by the apostle regarding these two great servants of God. Now, in the context of the book of Philippians, if you've got your Bibles, you might want to open them up, or if you got your phone, you might want to pull it up, because we're going to look at Philippians chapter 2 this morning, Timothy, verses 19 through 24. When I look at these men, I am encouraged to realize not very many or not any of us could rise to the level of Jesus Christ and having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is described in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Now look at it with me a moment. when we look at the great doctrinal teachings about the nature, the character, and the very being of Christ, it amazes us, doesn't it? He was in the beginning with God. He was on the level with God. He was on the same place in God's heavenly throne that Jesus Christ, as he was there with God, he emptied himself of that place and he came down and became the incarnate Son of God, humbling himself, becoming what all of us know his character was, appearing as a man, obedient to the very point of death, the death that he suffered upon the cross. There as he dies, he then is taken, placed in a tomb, and on that Sunday morning, he was resurrected. And he ascends back up into heaven, sat down upon the right hand of God, and he was given all glory and exaltation that in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. How then could you and I ever take the mind of Christ and feel like, well, I can be like he was? We see ourselves in our weaknesses and our struggles. And then I look at another example here of the mind of Christ, and I see it exemplified in the life of the great Apostle Paul. And as Paul, as a servant of God, as a great missionary, as one who went about preaching the gospel unto the Gentiles, establishing churches in so many different places, how many of us men think we could ever measure up to the Apostle Paul? None of us would have that attitude. Well, I can be like Paul, because we remember what a great, wonderful servant that he was. But here is the focus of our attention today. All of us in this audience, we can look at a man like Timothy. We can say, yeah, you know, I think I could follow in the footsteps of this young man, Timothy. Because you see, Timothy would be identified when we first meet him as a young man that Paul was able to teach the gospel, and Timothy became a Christian, became a great servant of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, we notice that Paul comes to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. He was the son of a Jewish woman who believed, but his father was a Greek. You see, Timothy was in the home of a religiously divided home. His mother, Eunice, his grandmother, Lois, they became Christians at the preaching of the Apostle Paul. And as they had become Christians, obeying the gospel, this mother and this grandmother became a tremendous example unto Timothy. But we notice that Timothy's father was not a Christian. He was a Greek. I wonder how the relationship of Timothy and his father then was like. Do you suppose that there may have been times that Timothy and his father were at odds with one another? Because of Timothy's faith and his service unto the Lord, and how that Timothy's father maybe never obeyed the gospel, they may have been in conflict with one another on occasions. There may have been days that Timothy would have been discouraged. And oh, how Timothy could wish, I would wish my dad would obey the gospel. Do you suppose there were times that Timothy would try to encourage his father and teach his father the word of the Lord? Maybe so. We really don't have any indication in the scriptures of this relationship that Timothy and his father had. as far as a relationship with being a Christian. So far as we know, Timothy's father never obeyed the gospel. If he did, Scripture doesn't tell us. But this home where Timothy is raised, a divided home religiously, Timothy was able to still grow spiritually without an earthly father who became a Christian. And we know that to be true because Paul became the spiritual father unto the young man Timothy. One of the beautiful things that we can do in the church today is encourage families where maybe both husband, wife, father, and mother are not followers of Christ. Maybe it's a home that is divided religiously. And children are in that home. And I know that there are fathers and mothers, husbands and wives, who receive encouragement by those who are members of the body of Christ. And in the encouragement given, sometimes in these religiously divided homes, as we see in the case of Timothy, a man may reach out to and encourage a young man who does not have a father who loves and serves the Lord. And Paul then became that unto Timothy. Paul became the example. Paul took Timothy under his wing. And as Paul became the father spiritually unto Timothy, Timothy was able to see in that example of Paul the encouragement that was given in his service unto the Lord. I also notice here in the example that we have in verses 19 through 24, these words that Paul wrote. Philippians chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus. And what a powerful statement that is. Paul, where are you? What is happening in your life? When you say, I trust in the Lord Jesus, something is occurring in your life at that moment. Well, he is a prisoner. And as a prisoner, there's a Roman emperor by the name of Nero. And Nero, the Roman emperor, is a man that is vacillating and changing in his attitude and the way he treats others. Nero could just decide, I think I will have Paul at this moment put to death. I'm going to bring an end to the life of this man who is going about preaching the one Lord, Jesus Christ. Nero, you see, is a man that Paul knows. You can't really depend on what he might do in my life. But Paul doesn't worry about that. Paul is not overly concerned about what Nero may do because notice, Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus. And I drop down to verse 24 and I read these words again. But I trust in the Lord. That is the attitude of every child of God. We live in a time and an age where a lot of things around us are happening that might cause us to wonder, what will tomorrow bring? What is going to happen in our world tomorrow? And maybe Paul could say, what's going to happen in my world? What will Nero do to me? But you see, Paul doesn't worry about that. He says, my trust, not in the government, not in what some Roman leader, political leader might do, my trust is in the Lord Jesus. And I want us to walk out of this building today trusting in the Lord Jesus. He is still sovereign. He is still Lord of lords and King of kings. He still has, as the old song says, he's got the whole world in his hands. Jesus Christ then was the one in whom Paul placed his trust. Paul says, I trust to send Timothy to you shortly. Paul would like to go himself. Oh, how he missed his brethren in Philippi. And he wanted to go and check up on them and see what was happening in that congregation. Paul, you see, had love for the churches that he had established. And one of those great churches that was so special to the heart of Paul was the church in Philippi. He wanted to send Timothy to them, if it be the Lord's will, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. All of us can be encouraged when we know the state and the condition of the Lord's church, wherever it is. Whatever's happening in this congregation, whatever you are doing in your service to the Lord, you know there are those who are encouraged by what you're trying to do here at Lake Hills. The work that we do everywhere as we serve the Lord, whatever congregation it is. You see, Paul was not just concerned about the church in this location or that location, but he was concerned about all the congregations, and he was concerned especially about the brethren in Philippi. And if he was able then to receive a message back from Timothy, things are going well in that congregation. Things are being taken care of. Problems are being handled. Divisions are being taken care of. Paul says, it will be a great encouragement when I know your state. And Timothy is the man that I want to send that he might be able to find out about the condition of the congregation in Philippi. Now look at verse 20. One of the greatest compliments Paul ever paid to anyone was his compliment that he gave, his commendation about Timothy. For I have no one like-minded. I have no one whose soul is like the soul of Timothy. I don't believe that as Paul looks here in this verse that he knows that there are Christians that are around him. And as there are Christians that are around him as a prisoner, Luke has been there with him. Aristarchus has also been there with Paul. And I don't think that Paul is saying, well, Luke and Aristarchus, they're not like Timothy. Maybe they are not in town. Maybe Luke and Aristarchus have gone somewhere else. But Paul is saying there is something in the life of Timothy that stands out above everyone else. Paul, what is it? What do you see in the example and the life of young Timothy that you will say, I have no one like-minded as Timothy is? Paul says, who will sincerely care for your state? Here is a preacher, a young man. Here is one that Paul has associated with and he knows. He literally understands the very soul and the heart of Timothy. They've traveled together. They've done mission work together. Paul has seen the growth spiritually. He has seen how the heart of Timothy is able to be exemplified in love and concern for Christians. He will sincerely care for your state. You think that he learned that from Paul? I think he did. Because you remember how Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the concern of all the churches is in my heart. I am concerned. I care about the church. And the burdens and the pressures and the struggles of churches, Paul, even though he is a prisoner, even though he may not be among those who are Christians that he loves so dearly, Paul says the weight and the care of all the churches pressed down upon the great heart of Paul every day. And as Timothy, you see, is with Paul, he sees, he knows the kind of care and love in the heart of his spiritual father. Because Paul had that wonderful heart of concern for the church, that same kind of care was in the heart of Timothy. I thought that Jesus says we're not to care for anything. We're not to worry about anything. And I thought the Bible says we're to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, for He cares for us. It does not mean that when the Bible teaches you and me not to care or worry about anything, and the Lord says that we are to not be anxious about anything, what we'll eat or drink, what we'll wear, but we're to seek the kingdom of God first. It does not mean that simply because I don't care about my personal life, I don't care about things in my personal experience, that there are people, there are situations that we do have care, we do have concerns about. I will guarantee you this, there are those of us as fathers and you as mothers and as grandparents and all of us who have family, we are always concerned and we care about what is happening in our family. What is happening with our children? What is happening with our grandchildren? What is happening with those that we love in our family? You see, we can turn our personal cares away from self and turn it out unto others. And that's what Timothy is doing. Timothy is not so much concerned about all of his problems. Timothy has a natural care and a natural concern for the Philippian Christians. You know, when I begin to turn my cares towards others and really be concerned about others and the struggles and the situations in their own life, then I'm truly concerned and have a care for the church, it'll help me deal with my personal cares and my personal concerns. Paul says of Timothy, not only does he have a sincere care for you, but he's not like so many who seek their own. Look at it, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard the old expression, look out for number one? You know, we've had that idea, you got to be sure now you take care of yourself first. And when you think about yourself first, then you can begin thinking about others. But there is an attitude that Paul has expressed, and this is why. In Philippians chapter 2, we have the example of the humbled and exalted Jesus Christ. Because did he really think about himself first? Was that his attitude? Or was not his attitude, I'm not thinking of my own interests. I will leave heaven. I will come down to earth because I am concerned about those who are lost. I am concerned that I bring salvation. The Bible says in verse 3 of Philippians 2, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, look at it now, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Isn't that what Paul is saying? So many are doing that he knows that are looking out for their own interest, what they need, what their desires are, what can be done to bless them. No, Paul says that there are those who are seeking their own interest, their own desires, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. You see what all of us, and I start right back up here where I stand before you this morning, all of us need to get out of self and into Christ. I need to get out of self and into others. And if I will get out of self, Brother Sammy, we sing a song, none of self and all of thee. And as I get out of self and my own self-interest, my own self-desires, what I want, it's my and me and mine and I. It's all about me. Paul says that there are those who are seeking their own, not those things which are of Christ Jesus. But Timothy is different. Timothy, you know his proven character. How do the Philippians know about the proven character of Timothy? He had been among them. They had watched him grow spiritually. As a young man growing up in his spiritual life, they see Timothy is proving himself. He is demonstrating. It's not enough just to say, I am emptying myself. But he is showing. He is proving by the life that he's living his proven character. You know, the Bible speaks about men who are to be chosen as elders in a congregation. And I know that Lake Hills and my knowledge of this good church, you've had wonderful men in years gone by who have served this church as elders. These men were proven. They had demonstrated by the spiritual life and their character. They had demonstrated by their proven examples the kinds of leaders every congregation truly needs. Timothy, by his example, had proven what a young preacher should be like. His proven character, you know all about his life. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. Now again, notice what Paul is saying. I love the way that Paul sort of, in his own attitude, comes down to a level of humility. Paul is not ashamed or he is not afraid to lift up Timothy as a great example as a young preacher. Paul, the aged now, Paul as one who has gone about and he has the great respect of the churches in so many different places, Paul says, I want you to look at Timothy. You know that as a son, he has been willing to serve with me as his father, serving in the gospel. In your Bible, I'd like you to take a pen or a pencil or in some way make note of the word with. You see that? In verse number 22, Timothy is with me, serving in the gospel. It's as if Paul is saying, I look at Timothy as a great, wonderful co-worker. We're working together. He has served with me. He's gone on mission trips with me, taking the gospel in so many different places. Do you see the humility of Paul there? It wasn't that Paul is saying, Timothy is giving service to me. Timothy is serving with me in the greatest work that we can do together. It is that of taking the gospel to those who are lost. Therefore, I hope to send him at once, as soon as I see how it goes with me. Paul doesn't know what's about to happen in his own life. And just like times when all of us, when we don't know what might be happening in our own life, and what if we were facing a great trial? What if we were facing the possibility of death? What if we were facing a great sickness in our own personal life? Don't we want people there with us? People there to encourage and to support, to pray for us and with us. And Paul, I believe, is expressing here this idea, I hope to send him to you at Philippi at once, as soon. As soon as when, Paul? As soon as I know what will happen to me. Paul is going to send Timothy and he will go. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul gets down to the close of his life, and he will say unto Timothy now, as he is away from Paul, Timothy, I want you to come quickly. I need you at my side. I need your support. I need your encouragement. And Paul will say, Timothy, I want you to come. I want you to come before winter, before it sets in, because it might be hard to travel then. And as Paul says, I'll keep Timothy as long as I possibly can until I see how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall come shortly. If I am delivered out of this prison, I hope that I can make a personal visit with those Christians in Philippi that he loves so much. Timothy, all of us, we can be like him. We can be someone who has a personal concern and care for the church, just like Timothy did. We can have a proven character. People can look upon my life and your life, and we are those who exemplify the proven character, the true child of God, and the hope, the assurance, and the comfort that we can give to others, just like Timothy gave unto Paul when Paul needed him so much. We can all do that. Oh, I can't be exactly like Jesus. It's too great. I can't measure up and walk in the shoes of the Apostle Paul. He's done too much. But I can be like Timothy, a child, a young servant of the Lord, who was willing to give himself in service with Paul, and what a great example he became. And Sammy has chosen a song of invitation this morning, and if you're in this audience or if you're listening by the recording of this message, and if you need to obey the gospel, then we encourage you to do that today. Just believe in Jesus and be willing to repent of your sins. Confess the name of Christ before others. Meet the Lord in the waters of baptism. Arise out of those waters, committing your life to faithful service to the Lord. If we can help you do that today, we're here to do so. If you need the prayers of this spiritual family that loves you, we'll pray with you today, whatever your need is.